Welcome to Strengthen, a podcast dedicated to inspiring you to become your strongest self. I am your host, Gabby Barreto, a registered dietitian and personal trainer with the mission of empowering you to become the best version of yourself yet. So let's get stronger together. Welcome back to Strengthen. It's me, Gabby B, and we're back again. So I wanted to start off this episode by following up on my last episode. It's October 16th. I record on Mondays. It's October 16th, 2023. And so last week I did not record because of the current world events going on. It was just a mentally, emotionally kind of crazy day and week. So I took off, and in my last episode, I announced my Get in Tune with Your Nutrition online program, which was supposed to launch today, which is October 16th, but this is October 18th. Hi. So I will be launching that on the 23rd. Check your local Instagram, right? Check my Instagram. But if you're on my email list, on my newsletter list, then you will also be getting a message then. So yes, I did get some interest. The program is launching. It's called Get in Tune with Your Nutrition, and it's really focusing on avid gym-going women, helping you improve your nutrition, build strength, reach your fitness and nutrition goals, all while helping you build a healthy relationship with food, get out of diet culture, and overall live a better quality of life where we're not obsessed with food and body image and all this misinformation that is out there. So that's what the program is really going to be. I'm going to talk more about it next week and also on my Instagram. So if you're not in my newsletter, make sure you get on it. You can get on it. You can get on that newsletter by visiting my website, GabbyBarreto.com. That's GabbyBarreto.com. Okay, that felt like a bad commercial, but maybe it was a good commercial. We'll see. Yeah, let's get into today's topic. So today's topic, we're going to be talking about the ever popular social media topic of, do women really need to be balancing their hormones, right? So we see a lot of this, especially on the like aesthetic influencer girly world, where like everything is really, I'm painting you a picture, everything is like really white and chic and like beige girl and like a little bit of like muted colors here and there, and they're walking on a treadmill in their home, or they're making some like elixir in their kitchen, and they're talking about how you need to be doing XYZ to balance your hormones. And like, what does that even mean? Like a lot of people think like, oh, I have to balance my hormones. But like, what does balancing your hormones even mean? Now, in women, there are certain levels of hormones that, you know, are established as a reference range, right? So if you go and get your labs done, it'll tell you what your value is. And then next to it, there will be something called a reference range, right? Which is a range in which this certain nutrient or hormone level or lab value should be within, right? So often I am, especially when I'm working with women who have any kind of symptoms, I'm saying like, let's look at your hormones. Let's get them tested. Let's rule some things out, right? So that is something I'll always look at just so we can rule some things out. I mean, I've had some really incredible cases where I've found things just by doing, you know, a simple hormone test. And obviously an endocrinologist may look at things differently and do different kinds of tests. Like we may look at things that are free in circulation. We may look at things that are bound. We, you know, there's different ways that we can, you know, look at hormones, different times of the month, right? Different points in our menstrual cycle, we may look at certain hormones. And so I've really like found some incredible things and really helped change some people's lives, you know, just by listening to them, listening to their symptoms and knowing that there's some hormones that we could be looking at that can really change, you know, their entire treatment and help them really feel better and really, you know, get a grip on what's going on. And then there's some, you know, nutrition changes that we make as a response to some of these you know, hormonal fluctuations. So you may be thinking, like, what are some of these, like, symptoms? And I just want to start by saying, if someone's, like, really asymptomatic, and there's not much going on, like a healthy, I don't even want to say the word healthy, right? Because it's then implying that people with hormonal imbalances are not healthy, which is not necessarily true, because health is, you know, multidimensional. In practice, you know, there's many aspects to somebody's health. It's not just physical, it's not just lab values, it's also mental, emotional, etc., right? But if I'm looking at someone who has no symptoms, like, testing their hormones are probably going to come back relatively normal, right? So if somebody really wants them, I'll do them. But for the most part, symptoms, I'm going to look at things. So you may be thinking, like, what are these symptoms? Like, what are symptoms that I'm listening to and hearing that may lead me to believe that hormones may be playing a role? Now, I've looked at these symptoms and hormones didn't play a role at all. So there's a lot that goes into some of these symptoms. It is not purely just hormones. So some of these may be, you know, feeling fatigue, low energy levels can play, you know, or like really a significant change in energy levels without any other outside explanation to, like, lifestyle change or, like, work change or change in stress, you know. Did somebody go through a traumatic event and they are feeling lots of fatigue? I mean, that could still impact their hormones, but we also want to look at a full picture as well. Big one for women, irregular periods. That could be lack of a menstrual cycle. That could be, you know, the length of a menstrual cycle, the length of your bleed, the, you know, how heavy your bleed or how painful your bleed is, can all be things that maybe we want to look at hormones for. Acne, hair loss, excessive hair growth, you know, and on your face, neck, back, other areas of the body, weight gain or weight loss. Those could be two things, you know, unexpected weight gain or unintentional weight loss that, you know, you may look and be like, there were no changes really to my diet. There was no changes really to my exercise routine. And I've just all of a sudden gained this weight or lost this weight. So those are some things that are indications. I am going to talk a little bit more about some other symptoms. Infertility could be one of them. Obviously, if someone is, you know, having challenges getting pregnant, that's something that you want to look at. And also sex drive, right? Libido, that could also have an explanation into some hormone issues going on. And why I really wanted to address and talk about this topic, and to now have anyone who listens think that, like, there's something wrong with their hormones. And guess what? If you think there's something wrong with your hormones, go and get them tested. I'm going to lay out a couple that I usually really look at and run as a dietitian if a female client comes to me. I mean, a case that I had recently where it really changed this young girl's life was I had a young girl who came to me and she had unexpected, you know, weight gain. And it was something that was really frustrating for her. And we really looked at, like, a lot of lifestyle stuff that was going on. There was nothing significant. I looked at this girl's diet and it was pretty solid, right? Like a pretty normal teenage girl diet, nothing, you know, out of the ordinary that would explain a large weight gain in a very short amount of time. And so I said, listen, we got to run some hormones here, gave them a list of hormones to run, came back. The girl's prolactin levels were very high. And so prolactin is a hormone that is made by the pituitary gland. You may associate it with prolactin, with breastfeeding, and things like that. But when people have an overproduction of prolactin and they're not, you know, pregnant or postpartum, it is a sign that there could be a non-malignant tumor on the pituitary gland. There could be a mass on the pituitary gland, which needs to be addressed because high levels of prolactin are not, you know, wanted, especially in a young teenage girl. So we found that, went to the endocrinologist, had a couple more tests done, got on medication. Not only is she, like, feeling better, she has an answer, because for a long time she was really blaming herself and going on all these crazy diets. And that's why they really came to me, was because, you know, of the dieting. And, you know, she was really going on a lot of diets that were really harming her mentally, but also physically, and her relationship with food. And so I never ignore an unexplained weight gain, even when someone is looking to improve their relationship with food, because we always have to be, you know, clinicians and look at the whole patient's picture. Same thing, I would never, you know, ignore an unintended weight loss just as much. I would not ignore, you know, an unintended weight gain. So looking at those biomarkers is really, really important. And so let's get into, like, as a dietitian, when I have a female client come to me who may have any of these symptoms, you know, here, I was just on the phone with a young girl, and we have, you know, some hair issues with hair and hair loss. So that's something that I am going to go and run a list of, you know, have her go run a list of hormones to see if there's anything going on. So obviously for women, we're going to look at our estrogen levels. Now, estrogen, progesterone levels, these are going to fluctuate throughout the menstrual cycle. So estrogen is our primary sex hormone. We see this depressed in eating disorders, in athletes with low energy availability, which I've spoken about, and also on contraceptives like birth control, we can see suppressed estrogen levels. So we do have to understand that when we're looking at some of these hormones, where the person is in their menstrual cycle, number one, and number two, other medications, are they under eating purposefully, or are they under eating, you know, not knowing? And so those are things that we're going to look at when it comes to estrogen. We'll look at hormones involved with ovulation, such as luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone. We see changes in this in low energy intake or low calorie intake, eating disorders. So I'm always going to look at that, because sometimes if I don't really see an eating disorder, or any low energy intake without an eating disorder, because that is possible, that sometimes I can see it in lab values. Other things we'll look at are the androgens, right? So these are things like testosterone, DHEAS, which is DHEA sulfate, sex binding globulin. So your androgens, especially in conditions like PCOS, are going to be elevated. So I want to look at, you know, these levels and see if, you know, a woman comes to me complaining of an irregular period, acne, hair growth, or hair loss on the head, you know, where are her androgen levels? I'll also look for insulin resistance, right? So we're going to look at someone's A1C. I say this word a lot, and I understand that a lot of people don't understand what an A1C is. So A1C, or hemoglobin A1C, is a measure of your blood sugar levels on average over a 3-month span. Now, this is a number we look at to screen for insulin resistance, and glucose levels, right? Basically, it's a screening for diabetes. And so when people say they have insulin resistance, I say, have you had an A1C test? And I look at their labs and there's no A1C test. We don't know, so we have to get tested. Insulin resistance is something important to look at. A lot of individuals who do have the condition PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, may have insulin resistance as a result of the inflammation and the progression of the syndrome. So insulin resistance is something that we'll always look for. I look for that in every person that I work with. Especially if people are complaining of like unintended weight gain, and things like that, I'll look at insulin resistance. Prolactin, I mentioned already, that's something that is always on my list, as well as thyroid hormones. So I definitely want to see your thyroid hormones. So there's a couple of things that we're going to look at. We're going to look at your antibodies. That is important to screen for your, Hashimoto's, right? Which is going to be a autoimmune disease of hypothyroidism. So I want to see if somebody has the antibodies for that. I'll also look at TSH, which is thyroid stimulating hormone. Look at T3 and the inactive form of T3, which is T4. So sometimes I'll get labs from people and they'll only have like T4 looked at, or like they'll only have T3. They won't have free T3. There are different measures of these things. So when I look at someone's labs and I want them to go back and get something else, it's because I don't have the full picture of what their thyroid looks like. Now, thyroid hormone is really important to look at for both unintended weight gain and weight loss when it comes to hormones, because a lot of people, especially people who do a lot of chronic dieting or a lot of yo-yo dieting, I definitely want to look at their thyroid hormone. Women postpartum. Postpartum is a time where a lot of women will see hypothyroidism or low thyroid hormone, as a result of, you know, creating and then birthing a child and the hormonal fluctuations in the immediate postpartum period. For a lot of postpartum women, it does clear up. But for some people that it doesn't clear up, and it could, you know, go into a diagnosis of Hashimoto's, or just hypothyroidism as well. Another hormone that's just such a hot topic is cortisol. And so cortisol levels are, they fluctuate, right? And so they're supposed to fluctuate. They can fluctuate in response to waking up. They can fluctuate in response to a stress response, exercise. But for the most part, in a normal cortisol response, you'll see a peak of cortisol in the morning, right? As somebody is starting to awaken, cortisol helps you wake up in the morning. It is part of, you know, what is helping you rise. It starts to elevate and help increase blood sugar to help you wake up. So people sometimes, I didn't mention this, but like a symptom, if I say like, I cannot get up in the morning for the life of me, I am groggy for hours in the morning, I cannot perk up. It takes me several cups of coffee to wake up. I'm definitely going to want to look at somebody's, you know, cortisol level. There is a test called the Dutch test that can look how your cortisol levels rise and fall throughout the day. So that is something that we might order for someone. You could do a blood sample of cortisol, but that's not going to tell us. That's only going to give us a snapshot of that cortisol at that point in time. A lot of labs will have you do them at certain points of the day or report the timing of that. But really, we want to get a look at what your cortisol levels are throughout the day. Again, they peak in the morning. That is called your cortisol awakening response, which is important for you to wake up and perk up for the day. There are some lifestyle techniques that we could use, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. Like if some of these things are, you know, there are some lifestyle techniques that we'll look at first before we like run and jump and do this like crazy, you know, protocol as well. So, you know, there's a lot going on, but with cortisol, that is such a hot topic. And I think it's so not well understood by people. And I'm by no means a cortisol expert. I definitely have people who are much more knowledgeable in this area than I am. Which maybe we can do a talk with them. But that one by like the whole social media is like attacked. Like your cortisol is the reason why. And don't do high intensity workouts because it's going to spike your cortisol. But in response to exercise, there is a cortisol response, right? Like we do emit cortisol, just like if there's a stress response. But they do come back down. That is what the research shows. If you work out at night, levels of cortisol are going to be a little bit higher, which is why some people may have issues falling asleep if they do work out late at night. But I do want to remind people that everyone, there is like a little bit of individuality between people. For example, I could go work out at night and still go to bed at like a decent normal time, whereas other people may go for a 7 p.m. workout and be up till like 1 a.m. So everyone's a little different. This past week, I was staying up really late, and that's because I think my cortisol was being like peaking at night because I was going out, I was on social media, I was reading a lot of things that were stressing me out. So I did kind of see that and did pay the price for it. But through some lifestyle techniques, I did see myself kind of come back. I think we should do a whole talk about that and bring on Jackie to really talk about that kind of stuff, and someone who's a little bit more of an expert, a little bit more knowledgeable in cortisol and all of that than me. But I think like the whole conversation on, you know, fatigue and energy levels is really important to have because it is a common complaint. And we may run and look for like some dietary and food is medicine, nutrition is medicine, supplements is medicine, 100%. I believe wholeheartedly in that view, but we also have to look at the lifestyle, someone's stress levels, how people respond to stress, their mental health levels, and how we can really look at in a comprehensive way at a whole person to putting out some of these fires that may be happening as in response to cortisol or adrenaline and some of these other hormones and how that all plays. So these are some of the main things that I may be looking at. Hopefully I'm not missing any. If I am, I'll come back and do a little talk in my next episode if I missed anything there. But what I kind of want to transition and talking to next is like, okay, so like we look at these lab levels. What do I do first with people? And I think a really, really important thing first to do is get the evidence, right? Let's look at what your levels are, if there's anything off, if there's anything not, right? And start with just some basic healthy nutrition habits, exercise habits, stress, lifestyle, sleep, right? Look at all of these things because it's food is a huge part, exercise is a huge part, lifestyle is a huge part of all of this. And we really, you know, baseline, you know, whether someone is, you know, experiencing symptoms, someone has a diagnosed condition, doesn't have a diagnosed condition, we just have to go to the basics first. So are we doing the basics nutrition-wise? Are we getting the nutrients in nutrition-wise? Can we do small little behavior changes first and see how we start to feel, you know, better then? I'm a firm believer in, you know, medication when it is necessary, but I always like to look at, you know, lifestyle-wise, what can we do? Can we tax out as much, you know, behavior change that we can do before we go and run and try this supplement and that supplement and this and that and give me a headache by all the money people are spending on these TikTok supplements and all of that. So really when I look, you know, I got to look, is somebody getting enough, you know, nutrition in the first place? Are they getting enough calories? Are they getting enough of the actual nutrients, proteins, carbs, fats, micronutrients? Do we need a supplement in there? Are these, you know, behaviors and really getting them on a schedule per se, right? Or really getting them on a plan that is kind of scheduled so they're eating enough throughout the day and feeling, you know, good. So that's like first things first that we're going to look at. Now, if somebody has a condition, we may look at certain, you know, nutrients that we want more of, certain nutrients that we want less of in the treatment of like PCOS, right? That is one, you know, diagnosis that I've seen a lot of in the treatment of PCOS, especially if we see insulin resistance, we may be looking at carbohydrates, how much carbohydrates, what types of carbohydrates an individual needs to eat, and the amount that they're having at each meal. That's going to be important that we look at for that. Other things we're also going to look out for, you know, many of these conditions, we're going to look at supplements. Does somebody need inositol, DIM? Do they need omega-3s, curcumin for the inflammation? So there's a lot that we can look at in terms of nutrition, but first we really got to look at foundational. I think my big thing is that foundational nutrition. If we don't have that foundational nutrition down, where we're waking up, we're taking care of ourselves in the morning, where we're eating a breakfast with enough protein, carbohydrates, fats, same thing with lunch, same thing with dinner. We're giving ourselves snacks throughout the day, not letting ourselves get super hungry, right? Not letting ourselves fall into the trap of being starving and overeating. That's a big trap I see people getting into. And so can we really, before we run and do this juice and that juice, and there was a big thing with like carrot salad and detoxing women's hormones. Can we first look at that foundation? So that's number one. I've spoken about it for a couple of minutes that I am going to look at. And so there's a very individualized approach as to how we take care of, you know, and manage many of these, you know, imbalances when they do exist. I just think so much of it has been plagued by social media and by diet culture, just like. And a big part of that is like they're always trying to constantly convince, especially women, that there's something wrong with them and something wrong with their bodies, whether it's the way they look or the way they function. And it's kind of like being masked now as like, this is all about your health and your hormones, and like giving women this idea that there's something wrong with their hormones. So like, how has this even become such a big topic? And it's really based on a lot of what I talk about, marketing in the supplement industry. Right. So marketing in the supplement industry is here to convince us that like we have a problem. And that's like a big thing. It's like some companies go out there and they find solutions to problems, what we see a lot in like the marketing of supplements and this whole industry is that they're selling you problems. They're selling you that there's something wrong with you. Like you're tired and fatigued and you need this because you're tired and fatigued. And it's like, can we pause and like get to the root cause of why this person's tired and fatigued? Is it because there's something wrong with their adrenal glands that need to be addressed and tested and looked at? Or is it that they are not, you know, lifestyle wise, they're staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning, waking up at six, working a full day, taking care of kids, or working a full day and like going to the gym and like not doing basic lifestyle things? Or are you going to try to sell them a supplement for that? So it's really important that like before we run and jump into these like glittery, you know, very attractive supplements that look like they have a solution to like a problem that may or may not exist in a human. What is the root? And this is like what I really want to urge my listeners to really get to. And it's like why I'm not really sitting here giving you like, here's a protocol for PCOS or like, here's a protocol for hypothyroidism is because we want to look at like, get to like, what is the cause of this? And then how do we manage your own symptoms, like personally, like what is a personalized approach to this? There is no one size fits all approach. There is no one size fits all supplement recommendation. There is no one size fits all supplement, right? One single supplement that's going to like be the only thing you need for your fatigue or like the only thing you need for your constipation. I've been through that. I've seen that so much. You know, why are you constipated? Is it because like you're taking in some crazy amount of fiber or like consuming foods that are not great for your gut? And everything's like on a personalized, individualized level. So that's why I'm not sitting here giving you like this massive protocol. I won't do that. And it's something I'm very, you know, prideful in. And I just want to be here to give you guys the truth of like what's going on. And if you have these symptoms, like we need to address them and we need to really look at what the cause is by looking at labs, looking at your symptoms, you know, working with a team. It's not just me. It's also your endocrinologist or your doctor and your OB, you know, your GYN that are also looking at these things. Now, a big thing is like that I always talk about is how a lot of this bleeds into diet culture, right? So we see a lot of this being geared towards like, your body is wrong. You can't lose weight because your hormones and this and that. And I mentioned earlier that hormones can play a role in unexpected weight gain or unexpected weight loss. But what we're often seeing is like this sales of something of like, yo, bro, these girls don't even have cortisol levels tested and you're telling them there's something wrong with their cortisol and that's why they can't lose weight. Like, hello, like how does like some pretty little 23-year-old girl like walking on a treadmill wearing $300 APL sneakers, like how does she know what your hormonal profile is right now? She doesn't, right? Because she doesn't probably even know what to test for or doesn't even understand how cortisol levels work. And so like we see a lot of that, like these treadmill and like do Pilates and like balance your hormones. And I'm just like rolling my eyes at that because we, first of all, don't even know. And it's a lot of it is demonizing like high intensity work and demonizing strength training because as I mentioned before, that does have a cortisol response, but it's not this like cortisol response that's like throwing everything off and being like the reason why you are not a size two, which is like even for so many women, not even like something that's genetically even in the cards, but I'm not going to go there today, guys. I'm just not going there today. Social media is a great place sometimes, and it's also such a trap to keep so many of us stuck in like diet culture and thinking that there's always something wrong with us and always something new that we need to do and need to try. And so I've worked with so many women who are like this and like really help them like get out of that mindset and get into a place where like, okay, now I know and learn how my body works and how to take care of myself in my own individualized, personalized way. And so it's, again, such a trap that like I really hope more women start to get out of. Because some people there are really good at just being salespeople and saying these like buzz and keywords versus like actually knowing or understanding in at any depth, whether it's surface level or in depth of what they're talking about when it comes to their hormones. So when do we worry about our hormones? When should we be concerned? I've spoken a lot on this podcast and on my platforms about, you know, under eating and under fueling and how that impacts your hormones, whether it's, you know, under fueling for a mismatch and of like not understanding how much your body needs versus how much your body is utilizing. But it also can be as a result of disordered eating and eating disorders, and that can impact your hormones, right? But there's other conditions out there that exist, right? We have PCOS, I mentioned, that is hallmarked by higher androgens, like your androgens like testosterone, hypothyroidism, right? Or hyperthyroidism, right? So hypothyroidism is low hormone, thyroid hormone, hyper is high, high versus low cortisol levels. And like, just to talk about it, there is a syndrome called Cushing syndromes where individuals have very high elevated cortisol levels. That is an actual thing. I have seen it. I have helped someone get that diagnosis before. It is a very distinct look when someone has very high elevated cortisol levels. It is a distinct look of like they have, you can look it up. You can look up Cushing's syndrome and you can see images on Google. And I do encourage you, especially if you're like, oh my God, my cortisol levels are so high. Look at some of these telltale like signs and look at some of these like telltale symptoms of it, because there is an actual condition. There are people who do have higher cortisol levels or sit a little bit higher, or some people that even people are concerned about high. For a lot of people, under eating, over exercise, I can be more concerned about them having low cortisol levels. Another thing is, you know, being on hormonal contraceptives, you can see, you know, some values of testosterone, estrogen, progesterone kind of off in regards to that as well. In terms of symptoms that you may, you know, want to investigate a little bit more, hair loss. So a lot of times when it comes to hormonal hair loss, you'll see it around the, well, when it comes to like pregnancy, you see it in the crown of the head, right? And in postpartum women will see it in the crown of their head. Sometimes we'll see it right at the part of your hair. We'll see some thinning up there at the part of your hair, which could be an indication of a hormonal hair loss. We'll see, sometimes you'll see facial hair growth on the face, on the back, on the neck as well. Acne can be a sign, irregular menstrual cycles, excessive pain with menstrual cycles, infertility, low libido, just to name some of them, as well as, you know, I mentioned before, fatigue, difficulty waking up in the morning and really getting your day started, especially if like you need a ton of coffee and caffeine to get that day started. We'll probably want to look at some, you know, cortisol. Again, the Dutch test could be a good test to look at those dips and rises of cortisol levels throughout the day, because they're really looking at your urine and they're doing mouth swabs at different times of day. So it's not just like a one-shot blood sample that you're getting when it comes to cortisol levels. And so I really made this podcast because in this episode specifically, because of that horrible misinformation out there, the lack of explanation behind a lot of these things that, you know, women experience or that women think that they are experiencing. Because again, diet culture, wellness culture, that is something that I am talking about. That's my next episode, guys, is I'm going to talk a lot about wellness culture. And wellness culture plays a huge role in this, right? Diet culture, wellness culture are very tightly together. But I want you to think of wellness culture as like selling you like ailments and selling you that things are wrong with you. And a lot of like these supplements are really born out of wellness culture. So really, really understanding that, looking at that, I'll go into what wellness culture is and I'll tell you my story about wellness culture and how I was trapped after my disordered eating phase, how I kind of morphed into this like orthorexic wellness culture phase of life, which I do see a lot of women kind of trapped in. But sometimes it's, you know, when I work with women who are kind of trapped in that, it's giving them information and giving them education that really helps them move out of that and see that, you know, evidence-based nutrition and health is where it's at. So thank you guys for listening. If you guys have questions in regards to this episode, you can email me nutritionbygabby@gmail.com. That is Gabby with two B's, please. And also you can DM me on my Instagram. That's @GabbyMBaretto. That's it. Not at gmail.com. I almost said at gmail.com, but it's not at gmail.com. Again, my Get in Tune with Your Nutrition program will be launching on the 23rd of October. Okay. Finally, we'll get that out there a week late, but we'll get it out there. And guys, come back next week. We'll be talking about wellness culture and what is wellness culture, how it's deeply tied with diet culture and orthorexia, which is a eating disorder with the obsession with healthy eating, right? So the obsession with healthy eating. And so I'll talk all about that, which is a topic that I'm very, very, very interested in and really passionate about. So thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, stay well, please.